Assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. How are you guys doing? Welcome to the Dean Show. Now, my next guest, for those of you who have never heard of him, let me give you a little breakdown. Miko Pilid is an Israeli activist, author, and a karate instructor. He's the author of several books, one of which is The General Son, The Journey of an Israeli in Palestine, and Injustice. He has a very unique story. We've had him on the program before. He comes from a family of grandfather who was the original signer of Israel's Declaration of Independence, and his father was actually a general in the Israeli army. So let's get into this clip here. We're talking about Masjid al-Aqsa under attack. You have the blatant injustices that are going on. Some of it kicked off from this video, and then we'll get our next special guest in to kind of give us a breakdown of what's going on the ground. Fill us in on everything of why and what's going on currently. Let's go ahead and check out this video.
Yaakov, you know this is not your house.
Yes, but if I go, you don't go back. So what's the problem? Why are you yelling at me? I didn't do this.
But you're
easy to yell at me, but I didn't do this.
You are stealing my house.
And if I don't steal it, someone else is going to steal it. And if I don't steal it, someone else is going to steal it. And if I don't steal it, someone else is going to steal it.
Miko Pilid.
How are you?
How are you? How are you? How you been?
I've been well. Thank you so much. Good to see you again.
Good to see you too. The introduction, was it proper? Is there anything I left out that you want to add for those who don't know about your work and some of the activism that you're doing?
No, it was fine. Yeah, it was very good. Thank you.
What about this video? Did you get a chance to see the video?
Yeah, you know, that video in the larger picture is a very small thing compared to everything else that's going on in Jerusalem now and in Palestine in general. I mean, Zionists have been stealing Palestinian land for close to 100 years. This is nothing new. They make all kinds of excuses. They say the Jewish people used to live there at some point and so on. And they just go on and continue to evict Palestinians, kill Palestinians. And this is happening in Sheikh Jarrah, which is a neighborhood of Jerusalem. A Palestinian neighborhood of Jerusalem, and it's a short walk from there to Al-Aqsa, to the old city of Jerusalem, where we see more violence perpetrated by the state of Israel, by Israeli authorities, and at the same time we see bombing in Gaza. So this is really an attack on Jerusalem, which of course is the heart of Palestine and holds one of the most sacred monuments to Islam and Al-Aqsa Mosque, like you said. And so it's attack on Palestinians everywhere throughout the entire country and focusing on Jerusalem, and particularly during Ramadan. This is not by accident. This is not a coincidence. This is all very well planned in order to light a fire that will burn Palestine. This is their objective.
Well, it's interesting. You said that this is not coincidence. This is well planned. You have Ramadan, obviously, when Muslims are fasting, you know, people would think, okay, they're in this mosque, you know, a place of worship, worshiping their creator. And then it seems like, okay, Phyllis, what do you mean by it's not coincidence, it's planned?
Well, the Zionist grand plan is to get rid of Palestinians and do what they call Judaize Jerusalem, which is to get rid of any remnants of Islam that, of course, have existed in the city for, you know, 1500, almost, you know, more than 1500 years. And most prominently, of course, is Al-Aqsa and the Dome of the Rock, the beautiful Golden Dome. So they have this vision of building some other structure there, which they call a temple or God knows what. At the expense of that, and to get rid of the Palestinians and to change the entire city as they've been changing all of Palestine by getting rid of Palestinians, destroying Palestinian, Arab, and Muslim, and also Christian monuments, and building for Zionist Jews only. This is a very dangerous process, and to do it during Ramadan achieves two things. Number one, it's really like throwing a match into a fire full of explosives, because of course people are much more sensitive during Ramadan. Everything becomes much more heightened. and they are going to use, you know, they use excuse after excuse after excuse, to use more and more violence against Palestinians, more and more violence in Jerusalem, and even inside the mosque. I mean, I'm sure you've seen the very troubling images of shooting both bullets and tear gas and whatnot inside the mosque while people are praying. There's a fire not far from the mosque right now. And at the same time, they're bombing in Gaza at the same time, you know. So this has to do with the fact that Netanyahu, who is the prime minister, wants to remain prime minister. And when there's violence, it's very good for politics. So he will remain prime minister. It's very likely they will have what they call a national unity government, which is kind of an emergency government. He will remain prime minister. They will continue the violence against the Palestinians everywhere. They'll continue to get, you know, kick out Palestinians out of their homes. They'll continue the violence in Al-Aqsa. And eventually, I think their goal is that Al-Aqsa will be burned to the ground. I don't think there's any doubt about that. They want to light the fire that will burn Palestine.
You mentioned a video. We're going to go ahead and play this from the masjid itself. So you can you give us a breakdown? What were we actually seeing there?
Well, what we were seeing was state-sponsored terrorism. That's what we're seeing. We're seeing state-sponsored terrorism. There's no provocation whatsoever. There's nothing to justify even remotely or excuse the violence perpetrated by the Israeli authorities. And you see the scenes. You see the sites. Injured. People are injured. People are being shot for no reason other than desire to terrorize people. That's really all this is about. And again, if we connect the dots and we connect this to the rest of the story of Palestine, again, whether it's Gaza, where it's in other parts of the country, violence, enormous amounts of violence perpetrated against civilians, against Palestinians, destruction of structures, destruction of monuments. I mean, Aqsa, of course, everybody knows. The Dome of the Rock is the iconic symbol of Jerusalem, so people pay more attention. But mosques and churches throughout the entire country have been ruined by the Zionists and continue to be destroyed, and ancient cemeteries and whatnot. This is part of the larger attempt to completely terrorize the Palestinians and to de-Islamize a city and a country that has been not just a Muslim country, but an icon of Islam for more than 1,500 years. This is what the Zionists are doing. It's state-sponsored terrorism. It's racism. These are crimes that scream to the heavens, and the world is watching, and the United States keep paying for it. You know, this is our taxpayers' money that goes to purchase the weapons and pay the soldiers and pay the settlers that are stealing the homes. And you can barely get an American government official to say something. And, you know, they call it clashes. And I think calling it clashes is a big mistake. These are not clashes. This is state sponsored terrorism by a well-armed, well-financed terrorist organization, which is the State of Israel and the Israeli military. against an innocent civilian population who are the Palestinians, who, by the way, have never had an army, who've never had a military force, who've never had a tank. You know, they were never a threat to anyone. But this is what they do. They want to terrorize the Palestinians and to destroy their lives.
Now, you don't just come from an ordinary family. I mean, give us a little bit of history for those that didn't watch our programs before or didn't watch, read any of your book. I haven't read any of your books, but could you tell us a little bit about your history and how you got, as a condensed version, to where you are today?
Yes, well, you know, I like you said earlier in the introduction, I come from a very patriotic, honest family. My father was a general. My grandfather signed the Declaration of Independence. Our family gatherings, everybody around me were people who either held important positions or were part of the founding of the State of Israel and the Israeli military. So I know about Zionism and I know about the State of Israel, not from a textbook or a college course, but from real life, from growing up inside it. And I also know that that Palestine is a segregated, racially segregated country where people like myself are privileged. We live on the privileged side of the segregation, or as the Human Rights Watch described it as an apartheid state. And I grew up on the privileged side. And once I took the step into that other side, left my privileged side and took a very short journey, actually, because the country is small and the two communities are geographically very close to each other, I became aware of this. Number one, the terrible injustice that's being done to the Palestinians, the lies that make up the story of the history of the State of Israel, and the lies, the mythology that the Zionists built, that somehow the Arabs are attacking the Jews, that somehow the Israelis are always on the defensive, and so on. And I decided I can't in good conscience support that anymore. So I reject Zionism completely. I wear this pin that says BDS, that calls for boycott, divestment, and sanctions against the State of Israel, because I believe firmly that people in Palestine can live free and should live free and can live in peace. But they can't do it as long as there's an injustice. They can't do it as long as the injustice continues. They can't do it under the current state of affairs where there's an apartheid regime ruling the country. It has to be a free, democratic Palestine with equal rights. And so to that end, I do what I do, and I speak the way I speak, and I participate in the Palestinian struggle the way I do.
Yaakov, you know...
I want people... No matter from what background they are, Jewish, Christian, you know, they're here, America, Canada, you know, UK, wherever. I just want them to put themselves in this situation. So who is this person we're seeing on the screen, Miko? Who is he?
So this is happening in the neighborhood of Jerusalem, a Palestinian neighborhood called Sheikh Jarrah. And I have actually friends who live there, two Palestinian couple who I know personally are friends of mine who live in that neighborhood, and their homes they've been slated for eviction, and they're being evicted, literally thrown into the street. And people like this guy, settlers who have no connection to the neighborhood, who have no connection to the homes, who have never lived there, have nothing to do with it, are being given these homes, and they just take over these homes. And what they do is they take over a home and then they start terrorizing the neighbors. And then they push out the neighbors and they go on from home to home. And this man is making some kind of ridiculous statement that if he didn't steal this home from Palestinian families, somebody else will. Well, that's nonsense. What do you mean somebody else will? Who will? Palestinians have been living in Palestine for a very long time. It's the Zionists who are stealing the homes of Palestinians. We've seen that for close to 100 years now. And he is no different than many other Israeli Jews who this is their purpose, to terrorize Palestinians, to evict them, and to take over their homes. And by the way, these are beautiful, beautiful homes. This is a historic neighborhood with a lot of very important monuments, historical Palestinian monuments. It's a very significant neighborhood. It's not just any old place. And this is he's some bum who has nothing better to do than to bully and terrorize, like I said, innocent, peace-loving, hardworking Palestinian families. This is a residential neighborhood, you know. People live there.
So we're going to watch this again for those who are just coming and tuning in since we're live. So you have the settler just coming in. So imagine this family's been there for decades. So he's just coming and...
Jacob, you know this is not your house.
Yes, but if I go, you don't go back. So what's the problem? Why are you yelling at me? I didn't do this.
But you're
easy to yell at me, but I didn't do this.
You are stealing my house.
And if I don't steal it, someone else is going to steal it. And if I don't steal it, someone else is going to steal it. And if I don't steal it, someone else is going to steal it.
What do you think of that logic there?
Well, his point is this. The state of Israel made the decision to evict these people. And the Israeli courts supported this decision. And what he's saying, I'm just a pawn. I'm just the guy that ended up in this house. But if it wouldn't be me, it would be another settler. So don't yell at me. If you have a problem, it's the state of Israel and the Israeli courts who always rule against Palestinians. I'm just a guy here. I have nothing to do with it. I'm just a guy who ends up living here. If you have a problem, don't come to me. If it wasn't me, it'd be some other settler. He has a point. It doesn't make him less of a criminal, but he has a point. You know, he's just the tip of this larger machinery, which is dedicated to evicting Palestinians from their homes and putting Israeli Jews there instead. So he, in a strange kind of a sick way, he makes sense because the decision, the strategic decision, was made by the state and by the Israeli courts.
So this is kind of like what's happening on the ground, Miko. This is,
you know, from where that guy is standing, to Al-Aqsa, to the old city, it's a nice place. Of course, the old city has enormous significance. Historically, religiously, it's been, like I said, an Arab and Muslim city with obviously other minorities living there in peace. There was Jews and Christians and so on, Armenians who live there in peace. But it's predominantly been a city that, that houses, and it's a city that houses the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Dome of the Rock, you know, which are iconic. And like I said, very significant, both historically and politically, and of course, religiously, spiritually. And look at what they do. They have no respect for faith. They have no respect for Islam. They have no respect for religion. They have no respect for the lives of the people who live there and worship there. And doing this particularly on Ramadan is 10 times worse than doing it on any other time, in any of the other time of the year, of course. And they want to show that they can do whatever they want to do, whenever they want to do it. And they are they're the masters of the land. They're the masters of the city. And they have the saying that whoever rules the Haram al-Sharif, whoever rules that compound, rules all of Palestine. And so they want to show by force that they are the rulers. You know, it's a very dangerous situation. I think it's very tragic. I think if people in the world, Muslims, not Muslims, people of all, religions, all faiths, all countries, do not begin to impose sanctions on the state of Israel, do not begin to demand that the state of Israel stop this, do not demand that the American Sixth Fleet, which is in the Mediterranean, come in to save the people in Gaza. Until the world does not get behind this, nothing is going to change. And I hate to say this, and I hate not to be pessimistic, but we have not seen the end of this violence yet. I think we're going to see more violence. This is going to be one of the worst years Palestine has ever experienced. And I fear that this beautiful site, this beautiful iconic site of the Dome of the Rock and Al-Aqsa Mosque will be taken away from us, will be destroyed, as supposedly perhaps by accident or something. But there's no regard for the importance, the significance of these monuments and of the city, other than for their own desire to show power. And I say this again, if the world does not intervene, if regular Americans do not intervene, whether they're Muslims or any other faith, if people around the world do not unite and sanction Israel and demand that this stops and make sure that and demand that American politicians, elected politicians, not just speak out against this, but act against this. That they demand that the Sixth Fleet come out and save the people in Gaza and declare a no-fly zone over Gaza so that Israel can stop, will not be able to continue to bomb Gaza. Until people get up off their chairs and get angry and get in the face of politicians and demand change, this is going to continue and these sites are going to become worse and worse.
You mentioned something earlier, something about a potential, or have you heard this term, third temple? And what does that mean? Yeah.
Well, there's a movement that 20, maybe 30 years ago was considered fringe. And it's a movement of radical Israelis that call for the building of a new Jewish temple, a so-called Jewish temple. And they were an insignificant minority. And by the way, the most Orthodox Jews, people like Rabbi Weiss, who I know you've interviewed and I know you know, reject completely, by the way. But they have this crazy racist and violent idea that they need to destroy the Al-Aqsa Mosque. They need to destroy the Dome of the Rock and build some of the structure, which they will call the third Jewish temple. There was the first temple, the second temple, this will be the third temple. 20, 30 years ago, these guys were fringe. Today, they're mainstream. They're in the Israeli parliament. They're in the Israeli Knesset, in the House of Representatives. They're in the Israeli government. The Israeli Minister for Jerusalem Affairs, his name is Rafi Peretz. He's one of them, and he's in charge of Jerusalem. He holds the portfolio of Jerusalem in the Israeli cabinet, in the Israeli government. They conduct what they call tours, which are really horrible provocations, on the inside the compound of Al-Aqsa. And they have, well, in the past, there used to be maybe 10, 15, you know, fringe people. Today, they have tens of thousands of people participate in their provocations. And it's become mainstream, talking about the destruction of Al-Aqsa, talking about the third temple, so-called third temple, has become mainstream. These people are now, like I said, they're part of the government. They're part of the Israeli Knesset, the House of Representatives. They have influence. And they have a very clear agenda. And the violence that we're seeing now is part of that agenda. The violence that we're seeing now can and they are hoping will lead to this final and the horrifying moment where all of this is destroyed. I have no doubt about that.
Do you think, how would it be received if something similar like this was happening at the Vatican?
I would never be allowed to go. This, something like this would never have been allowed. Can you imagine? Mm-hmm. This would never be allowed, whether it's the Vatican or any other place. You know, if it was any other place in the world, this would not have been tolerated. I don't need to tell you this or your listeners. This is the third holiest site in Islam. It is one. It is an iconic structure. You know, it was built by the great Omar. It is over 1,500 years old. It has a rich history. It has significance in so many different ways, and it's a beautiful place. I've been there, though. The entire compound is peaceful and loving and beautiful. All these people want to do, the Zionists want to go in there with their military and instigate all of this violence and perpetuate all this violence and desecrate the place. It is beyond belief that it is allowed to continue. But again, like I said earlier, it's being paid for by our tax money. Israel gets $4 billion a year of American American tax dollars.
How much?
Billion. $4 billion with a B every year after year after year after year after year. And this is our tax dollars. And these are our representatives in Congress and in the Senate that vote for this every single year. They have to vote for it and approve it every single year. And they do. And we voted for these people. They should know that if they dare to vote to give money to Israel one more time, they will be out of office. You must never vote for any elected official, whether it's a city council member or a mayor or the sheriff or a congressman or a state assemblyman or woman that supports Israel. They need to know that supporting Israel means they lose their job. It is a racist, violent state. It's a state that practices terrorism against the civilian population, never mind the fact that they're predominantly Muslim, and Muslims should care about that. Everybody should care about that, but particularly Muslims. This is a terrible state of affairs, and it affects everywhere. Something like this affects everybody. Everybody's glued to their TVs. Everybody's upset about this. This is a terrible state of affairs, and nobody does anything. Look at what they're doing. It's been going on for days and days and days. And young Israeli youth gangs are marching through the streets, calling death to Arabs, destroy the Arab cities. They want to expel Palestinians and Muslims from the entire country, particularly from the city. And nobody, you know, from time to time, you've heard a couple of senators, Senator Warren and actually even Senator Van Hollen from Maryland. You know, they made a statement saying that this was wrong, but nobody's acting. They're still voting to give money, arms and money. This is a terrible state of affairs, and people need to get off their chairs, and they need to act, and they need to protest, and they need to write and call their senators and members of Congress and city council members and mayors and every single elected official that they will not vote for them again, and that they demand that they stop this violence against Palestinians and against Islam.
What is it? We got 5 minutes left. What kind of reaction do you get when Americans hear this for the first time, that $4 billion goes annually to this yearly? When they hear this for the first time, are people just...
People who don't know this are, of course, shocked. You know, people are shocked. Why does a country like Israel, which is already a rich country, which doesn't need foreign aid at all anyway, why are they getting $4 billion? This is more than any other country in the world. If you want to give that money, give it to poor countries. There are enough poor countries around the world who could use this money. But why are you giving it to a country that's rich? And on top of that, exercises an apartheid, you know, has an apartheid regime. And look at the violence perpetrated against a holy site. Look at their violence against Islam. Look at their violence against Palestine and Palestinian people, only because they're Muslims and only because they are Palestinian Arabs. Like you said, this would not happen in the Vatican. This would never happen in the Vatican. So people need to get off their chairs, and they need to channel their energy and channel their anger, which I hope we've elicited a little bit, to demand change and demand an end to all support for Israel, period.
Now, you're from an Israeli background, Jewish, you're standing for justice, like every human being should be standing for justice, no matter who it's against. Do you come under some attack for this?
I get an occasional, you know, comment on social media that I'm a traitor or that I should be killed, you know, that sort of thing. But nothing too outrageous. I mean, certainly, you know, when people like us, you know, stand up and speak out, then some people are not going to like it. And they will react, but you know, it comes with the deal. It's part of what it means to speak out and be an activist and so forth and demand justice and change.
Yeah, may God bless you. We commend you for taking such a noble stand for justice. You mentioned rockets close to your family's house that are there right now on the ground.
Yeah, my family lives just outside Jerusalem, and just a few hours ago, I was videos from my family of the Gaza falling feet away from where they walk, from where they live, from the road, from their house. Yes, it's right around it's everywhere. I mean, people are, you know, they're showing me videos they took, you know, standing in the right in front of the house and so on. And so it's very close. And this is very close. We're talking about less than 5 miles from Jerusalem. This is very, very close to Jerusalem. This is frightening. This is scary. We're going to see levels of violence that we've not seen yet. We're going to see this is going to be some very bad times coming to Palestine, and we need to all stand up and speak up. I mean, what happens to Israelis, and you know, my family, of course, is close to my heart, but this is nothing compared to what is happening in Gaza and what is happening to Palestinians everywhere. We all need to stand up. We all need to unite. We all need to hold hands, regardless of our faith, regardless of our nationality, and say enough is enough. Palestine must be saved. Jerusalem must be saved. Al-Aqsa must be saved from this Zionist terrorism, from this destruction. It must be saved for the sake of all of us, because we want our children to enjoy it. We want our children to be able to go to Jerusalem and pray, and their children forever. This is things like this. There are not a lot of places around the world that are quite as unique as Jerusalem, as Al-Aqsa. And we need to save it. It is up to us. It is absolutely up to each and every one of us to stand up and speak up and be part of the effort to save this and end this violence perpetrated against Muslims and against Palestinians.
You speak to a lot of groups. You go to churches. If someone wants to get a hold of you, people, even politicians, if they want to get a hold of you, they want to hear the other side. Also, do you recommend, we see politicians, they go down to the area that they go ahead and cross over and go and see for themselves what's happening on the ground over there in Gaza. Do they do that? Do they come over and, you know, take a ride to the other side and, you know, to keep it fair and balanced? So it's twofold, you know, a few questions there. What can people do? How can they connect with you if they want to bring you into their church, into their place of worship? They want to hear more. They want to learn more. And if for the politicians and others, go ahead and close it out.
Well, yeah, it's very easy to reach me. I'm on all the platforms, on Facebook, Twitter. It's easy to send me a message. It's easy to find me if you go to micopella.com. All my work, everything I do, there's a way to reach me through that as well. And I'm happy to speak in front of everybody and anybody. I think it's crucial that people know what is happening and become aware and act. Become aware and act, because too many people are aware, but they don't act. I think they don't care enough. In terms of American politicians, most American politicians go on an Israeli dime. So they go on all these junkets that are paid for by Israeli organizations, by the state of Israel, by the Israeli lobby. And what they see is what the Israelis want them to see. They rarely, they do from time to time, some have gone, but they rarely go to any of the Palestinian cities. They rarely go to the old city. They rarely go to Al-Aqsa to speak to the, you know, to the people of faith there. They rarely go to people, a place like Hebron or any other Palestinian city. And they don't really hear from Palestinians. They're shown a one-sided, completely unbalanced picture. And again, we need to demand that that change as well, that if politicians go there, that they go there and they see things for themselves, not just what the Israelis want to show them.
Thank you very much. Thank you for bringing us up to date and helping us get a better picture and understanding of what's going on the ground. Thank you. Thank you, Miko.